see it in the movies and the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle. The lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad. And the air is acid rain. There's war after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. And the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
Welcome to the Watchman for Jesus Bible study for tonight. Welcome those just joining us. If you're your first time, my name is Thomas Gamble. I'm the host of this Bible study that, you know, initially, I said this yesterday, I think I did. Initially, I started this off as my own Bible study one day, and I said, wait a minute, I have a network. It's when I first realized I had a network that I could do anything I wanted to with when I inherited it somehow or another. It's a long story, but anyway. And I said, I'll just ask people to join me on my Bible study. If they want to, fine. If they don't, whatever. So that's how it all started 2 years ago. And so this is my Bible study, but I'm just inviting people to attend. That's kind of how I look at it. Am I right every time? No, I'm not right every time. I'm learning something every day. But that's the thing, is to learn something every day. I will tell you, I do extensive, obsessive, whatever you want to call it, research that I have to. I see a heavy responsibility when you talk on a radio different than just you yourself. People have a tendency to trust and believe, no matter who you are. If you're talking on a radio or TV, gosh, they must be telling the truth. Why? Because they're talking on the radio or the TV. Oh, I see. When it's really quite the opposite. All your major networks, fact, are controlled by the Illuminati through the Council of Foreign Relations. They are, in fact, controlled. Every single one of them. There's not one. The only time that I recall, and there may be others, but from my research, one period of time that had a free press was the Chicago Tribune around the Korean War period. They were pretty much a maverick. They were putting out some good stuff back then. Serious stuff against the Council of Foreign Relations. 1950s, man, they were nailing the Council of Foreign Relations. No, you won't find that today. No. Editors are furnished, bought off, and paid for. Literally. And the churches, forget it. They're completely infiltrated by Freemasons, Jesuits. You got Jesuits. You know, Castro was a Jesuit. Billy Graham's a Jesuit. Well, I got pictures of him receiving a Jesuit degree funded by the Rockefellers in 1949. I got evidence on that, you know. He was funded through the Laura Spelman Memorial Fund by the Federal Council of Churches. 1949, 1950, Rockefellers and Randolph Hearst funded him. He's bought and paid for. I may explain that one day, how that works, how people get your confidence, and then all of a sudden they switcheroo on you. It's amazing how they do it. It's incredible, really. Incredible how people pull it off. But you got Jesuits. Jim Jones was a Jesuit. You know, the one that murdered 900 people. Anyway, Jim Jones was a Jesuit. Castro was for 7 years. Jim Jones was CIA. Mind control program was Jonestown. That ended very badly. Jesuits are trained to be Baptist ministers. Jesuits are trained to be Methodist, Presbyterian, military leaders. Jesuit trained. Scientist. Jesuit trained. Other areas where they control the seven rays, they call them, of mankind, are Jesuit trained experts. I imagine the Jesuit that's trained to be a First Baptist minister, they must issue them a wife, a dog, a cat, and a couple kids to make it look good and set in a little neighborhood and say y'all every now and then. They may practice that when they're in wherever they have their Jesuit school. They just say y'all and dog, D-A-W-G. They get them to say the right way to make them really look like they're Baptist from the South, y'all. I'm not joking at all. This is how they do it. They train them to be this way, to disassemble, to keep people back. It is so evil what they do. I am dead serious about this. I'm going to dedicate the broadcast, and we are going to talk tonight about how to live the Christian life, about Satan being demonized and deliverance. We'll probably go until tomorrow, part, I've lost track, three, I guess. And I'll put it up on my website and do what you will with it. Lord, tonight we thank you for letting us come together for a Bible study. Lord, bless us with your presence, Father, of the Holy Spirit, and touch our hearts. Guide us tonight in this Bible study. And Lord, forgive us of our sins. We bring them to you on the cross of Calvary. We bring them to you, Father, on our cross. We bear our cross to you. Lord, we pray for our friends, our neighbors, our loved ones, families, and those that are asking us to pray for them, Lord, to bring their families back together, to touch those members of the family that are straying away. And Father, use your holy presence to bring people together. You know the heart better than we, of course. And Father, we call upon you to accept those divine appointments and many different ways that you can bring people to meet those that's going to witness to them the truth of the Great Commission to be carried out. Father, again, we pray for the servicemen, for the veterans that's being targeted. We pray for the citizens of this country and other parts that are being targeted by the Illuminati, by the government, by the intelligence agencies. And Father, we know about this. We pray for their deliverance. We pray for their protection against the technology. And Father, most of all, we plead the blood of Jesus around us, protect us from the supernatural realm. And Lord, through that we be protected by the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. In these things we make our prayer, Father. We send our prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Family, tonight's going to be kind of a, well, most all of them are, it's kind of a challenging one tonight. I'm going to be touching some touchy subjects and covering them. And if we have to, we go until tomorrow. The next part depends how far we get tonight. And family, if I leave something out, send me an email, or if you want me to cover something in addition, or you disagree, just keep it to yourself. No, I'm kidding. Go ahead and send me an email that straighten me out. I know there's folks you like to hear. There's folks out there that you like to hear about, you know, what God's got for us and the love of God and all that. But you got to know the evil. You got to know, not you got to study it, no. But you got to understand how Satan operates to fight him. And we don't fight him. We let Jesus do it. But you got to know what to stay away from. How to walk that walk. What to avoid. You figure through 12 years of your schooling, from 6 years old, whatever, to what, 17 or something? 12 years, give or take, first grade to 12th. 5 days a week, 8 hours a day, for 9 months out of the year. The school system, based on humanism, socialism, is what our schools have been. This is confirmed. This is a fact. I got quotes to that effect. And we haven't ever known it. The Masons have been controlling our education system since 1908. The ringing of the bell is part of their training process. It's a socialist program. Bell rings, you anticipate it. You move. It rings, you move. It rings, you move. You anticipate it. You're controlled. This is the reason for the changing of the classes. I mean, it's a document. This is, I'm not making this up. This is not speculation. I've got quotes from Charles Francis Potter, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, Roger Kimball, even Bertrand Russell. I got quotes from all over the place confirming that every American public school is a school of humanism. And every college and university has with it a resident Marxist, humanist, or socialist scholar to oversee the education, to make sure it follows the Humanist Manifesto. And we don't really know that. The American people don't know this. And this is where Common Core comes along. This is where No Child Left Behind is to slow down the education process. I've read you quotes from Dr. Chester Pierce, Ashley Montagu. How they control the education. And they start with the age of 5 and 6. Now that was the 1970s, about Chester Pierce, for example, just one example of many. And he says that a child comes to school at 5 years old is mentally ill because of having a belief in sovereignty, belief in being patriotic at 5 years old. Where's he getting that from? Because he knows the parents who at that time were baby boomers, or they were from the World War II era, which was, yes, the proverbial traditional family. So that would make, in the 1970s, that child at a young age, because taught by parents, taught by the, you know, traditional family ideal, which was designed for the country for that time period, would come to school with those ideas. So every 10 years, they start chipping away at that belief system to what we have today. by design. Who designed it? Tavistock in London, a behavioral think tank established in London called Tavistock. Edward Bernays, Sigmund Freud. They control every college and university in America. That's significant. This is how Satan does it. And these are irrefutable facts. And they use these colleges, universities, and the certificates or the awards, scholarships, to recruit those they want to control and take and use in the tens of thousands in MK Ultra program. You see how Satan works? How do you fight that? If you don't know it. That's why they put the mothers to work. That's why they make it easy to have divorces. That's why they want both parents working, so they control the schooling of the child. Charlotte Iserby confirms the degradation of our education system. This is by design. This is not just because of sociological changes, values, and marijuana being used in the hippie generation. None of that. That's used, but this degradation of education has been by a careful design process and tested. Do it again. Test it. Do it again. Test it. Oh, they're there. Okay. Then they go to the next step. By social and psychology engineers working to destroy the education system by design over a period of each decade. And the Freemasons are behind it. Knights of Malta. Satanist. Witchcraft. Witchcraft is rampant in the military, rampant in the school system. You got teachers that are in the Wicca, you would not believe. And in the medical field as nurses, you would not believe. People that act like normal. Little Miss Mary, she makes the best apple pie, but she's into Wicca at night. I mean, you got that. It's like, what? You ever seen The Burning Man that goes back to the 1970s, 1980s? Whereby in the village was into witchcraft and they burned the guy. I mean, it's ugly, but it's the Blair Witch. It was a teaching film, really. And also The Burning Man. It's real. These people are real, man. That's what we're dealing with in America today. And the ones that the Vatican burned, as I said, they burned at the stake and all that, and the era of the Dark Ages period, and they were Christians. They weren't witches at all. John Todd confirms that, Illuminati. He was murdered by his own family in the Illuminati. So, victory over Satan. You have to learn about the enemy, but not to get caught up in it, because they are a defeated foe. We've talked, and it tells us in the Bible, sums it up, 1 Peter 5, verse 8. In First Peter 5, 8, it says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." Family, it is not Obama changing the education system, or it's not Bush going to No Child Left Behind. Family, these are throwaways. Bush and Obama and Eric Holder and only Bernanke or whatever ski it is. It don't matter. They're throwaways. They're nothing, but they are a distraction. Actually, Queen Elizabeth, the Pope. I'm going to get big here. These guys are throwaways. They're slaves of the hierarchy. The hierarchy, that is, those are the fallen angels, the sons of God of the Old Testament. It's in the Bible. Today they call them something else. The sons of God of the Old Testament. Old Testament only. were the fallen angels. And the Bible confirms it. They're trying to hide that fact. So what are they today? The sons of God took the daughters of men. Created Nephilim. Hybrids. Giants. I call them bubbleheads. Eggheads. In Egypt, they call them pharaohs. That's why they wore that weird-looking head. Because their heads, for whatever reason, grew like eggs. Now, that sounds weird, but that's what it was. Because their DNA is different. But they needed to use man to fulfill their goals of a new world order. And they planned thousands of years in advance. Mankind was not at the level of scientific achievement of which to go past the Tower of Babel. I'm not going to get into that right now. That's a rabbit hole. I don't want to go down right now. I don't mind it, but so man is so dumb that Satan had to wait thousands of years to get mankind to the technological level to develop the mark of the beast, to achieve what he wanted to. Now, the first Antichrist was Nimrod. Had several after that. Each time he failed. But each time he failed, he learned. Satan has no wisdom. He has no discernment. But they got a whole lot of knowledge. And they don't forget. So they keep learning. So when they were manipulating bodies back then, when they were making Nephilim, daughters of man, sons of God, the daughters of men, they had to wait a generation to see what the effect was. But not today with computers, biological techniques, and so forth. They can accelerate the growth process. Now you got it. They can make models, accelerate growth, because they're now got us mankind to the technological level where they can now carry out their new world order. But it's going to be a puff in the wind. When they get so close, just like the Tower of Babel, God's going to tear it down. And all he's got to do when they get close is change their frequency vibration by just increasing the heat of the sun. It's all he's got to do. Yeah, you know. So he increases the heat of the sun, makes things move around a little bit, and it changes all their formulas. Just go to scrap. And they can't keep up. So they're going to come to a point where they can never again advance scientifically. They know that too, by the way. For example, you got your 1G phone. Well, they've already got put out or got set up the 2G. And by the time the 2G, they already got the 3G. But you still know about the 1G or whatever it is. But they're already at the 3G phone. See, but there's going to be a time they'll never get to 6G. It's going to stop cold. They have to keep advancing technologically because God keeps changing it on them. Guess they never learned at the Tower of Babel. They're never going to defeat the Creator. Ephesians 6:12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, I've read that over and over many times, and, you know, you read it, and you can cite it in Bible study, and say, oh, did you hear that? Yes, he said that. That's really great, yeah. But what in the dickens does that mean? I mean, really, what is he talking about here, principalities, powers of darkness? You know, it's like, that sounds good in Bible study to say all that. What's it talking about? Well, the cross is a place where Satan was defeated. The Bible says that the Lord Jesus took our nature upon him. Through death he might destroy him that had the power over death, and that is the devil. By one man, all of mankind was cursed. But by one man, all of mankind can be redeemed. And that's Jesus. That's the second Adam. That's the power of love. That's the power of original sin. Because you see, original sin binds the Wicca. Original sin. You see, the purpose of original sin isn't just some bynote on a Bible study. And also, the power of original sin completely destroys the debate of whether there's even aliens out there. Because that means, if there's, like Billy Graham says, that there's millions of planets with life on it. Oh, he did, 1997. Pope also, the Vatican believes in aliens and all this. Well, my first question would be, well, then what about original sin? Does that mean all those other millions of planets, I always throw that millions out there, they're always trying to find a planet with life like on Earth, that all those millions of planets with life on it somewhere out there had original Adam and Eve's too? Had a reptilian Adam and Eve and a, I don't know, some silicon-based DNA Adam and Eve? They all had Adam and Eve's? Or are we the only cursed planet in the entire universe? And that's not fair if we are. No. There's only one planet with life. And every star, sun, constellation, principles, designed, everything, perfectly designed to support only life on Earth. Otherwise, forget the Bible, because the Bible talks about original sin. And also the Bible tells you the Earth hangs in the middle. Everything revolves around the Earth. NASA can't be trusted anyway, because they're a nestbed of Freemasons that's taken a blood oath to lie in the name of God. I just get down to it. I don't beat around the bush. NASA was created to set up the lie about extraterrestrial life and disclosure, which is yet to come. That's the purpose of NASA. Notice they stopped the space exploration program. Just enough to wet your whistle, spend a lot of money, kill off a bunch of astronauts they shouldn't have, and lie about it the whole time. I don't mince words. I can't do that. So original sin is the wisdom of God. If it wasn't for Jesus Christ, can someone name me one human since Adam and Eve has come back from the dead on their own? Where's my Jeopardy theme? No, I won't play that. There's never been one. Houdini never came back. Muhammad never came back. Joseph Smith never came back. Buddha is still probably in hell eating donuts. I don't know. But they're not here. They're worm food. They're dead. Bones. You can find their bones, maybe. But you're not going to find them. Where's Jesus' bones? They're with him. Skin and bones, but translated into the supernatural glorified body of Jesus Christ. 500 people saw him ascend and wasn't some silly UFO or getting hella lifted up or beam me up, Scotty. None of that. He arose in the cloud. He can do that, you know. He's the original creator. Jesus, God, and the Holy Spirit are one. 1 John 5, verse 7. Purpose of original sin is the wisdom of God. And what it does, Adam and Eve, with free will, deny Adam and Eve. Original sin continually obstructs the natural expansion of our religion. Talking from the point of view of the Wicca. Original sin, from the point of the Wicca, continually obstructs the expansion of their religion. Satanism, Luciferianism, Wicca, and all the rest of them. It's a straitjacket that checks any movement of their heart or head. It obstructs the natural expansion of their religion. You know what else it does? It binds them hand and foot, original sin does. And it drains the blood from them because it represents the survival of static concepts. He changes not. And these are an anachronism of our evolutionist system of thought. It destroys it for them. That comes from the Ouattara Wandia article of Teilhard de Chardin, his influence in Chapter 4, Christianity and Evolution. Teilhard de Chardin was a Jesuit priest who's the father of the New Age movement. Teilhard de Chardin, a very, very influential Jesuit who was the father of the New Age movement. Helena Blavatsky was the mother of the New Age movement. Teilhard de Chardin said, and I quote, "I believe that the Messiah, whom we await, whom we all without any doubt await, is the universal Christ. That is to say, the Christ of evolution," unquote. You'll find that particular quote in Teilhard de Chardin, Billy Graham and His Friends, A Hidden Agenda by Dr. Kathy Burns, page 100. And Chardin went on to say, "A general convergence of religions upon a universal Christ who fundamentally satisfies them all. That seems to me the only possible conversion of the world and the only form in which religion of the future can be conceived." Same page is, same book, page 400. Now, based on that, I found further that this one called Sanand Emanuel, Yeshua. No, I don't have a cold and I didn't sneeze. Or Yahushua, some of them you can't even pronounce. That they want everybody in the world to start pronouncing Yeshua and Yahushua, something or another. And Yahweh, and all this. Is a fallen angel whose name is Raziel, to get right down to it. And he will fill, when he appears at disclosure, yet to be in the future, he is the false prophet of the Bible. It's not the Pope, it's not Obama, it's not anywhere 10 buck two, hallelujah, it's none of them, not even Elmer Fudd. The false prophet of the Bible that's going to be thrown in the lake of fire is Sananda Emmanuel. Fallen angel's name is Raziel. Family, he looks exactly, he is the one we think is Jesus Christ in photos. Black velvet and other photos and pictures. He's a so-called Caucasian, blonde-haired, blue-eyed Jesus. Is not Jesus of Nazareth. The one we think is Jesus is not. That's Sanand Emanuel. When he appears in this space show that they've set up for since 1917, John Dewey was a part of the planning process. Oh, yeah. Got quotes from it. I have from a separate study found out this one named Sananda, when he appears, he will fit the process, will fit the role of the Christ, the Prince of Peace, Krishna, Bodhisattva, Bodhisattva, the Imam Mahdi. That should get your attention. And Maitreya. He will fit all six in one. So from Signs of Christ by Harold Balliaz, matches up with what Teilhard de Chardin said about a universal Christ to fill them all. Fits right on top of it. The general convergence of religions. This is what Glenn Beck is all about. It's what the Pope is all about, bringing all religions together. Everyone has a role to try to bring them all together under peace. That will be a lie. Only peace is going to be brought is through Jesus. Right now, Americans are living fat and happy. Some of them are not. A lot of them are. Or they're tied up in working and watching TV and they're doing this and doing that and lost in their space and all this and so forth and so on. Drama here, drama there. Drama everywhere. To keep people tied up and busy. God knows this, obviously. So to wake them up from the sleepy head, he's going to pull the carpet out from under their feet. That's going to wake them up. It's going to wake us all up. And he's going to do it because he loves us. Because he knows if we left to our own devices, we'll never come to him. We'll go to church on Sunday, sit there and nod our head up and down like a dipping duck. Pretend we did this, pretend we did that. Oh, it was such a great lesson, then we leave. And this goes on every Sunday. Or you go to your mega church, listen to rock and roll, drums, whatever. Praise around a little bit. Go outside in the lobby, drink a little coffee, and buy some trinket. I don't know what. Watch it on the TV if you want to. If you don't want to sit in the stands, you're just watching TV. Go to Osteen, go to Hagee's, the others, you get binoculars just to see them talk. Family, God's going to tear that down. He's going to destroy that. He's going to get personal and up close. You can count on that. Because you can see the signs of the time. So, Jesus is the only one to come back to life on his own. And only through him, only praying through Jesus Christ, will God hear our prayers. He is the one that, how he does that, I don't know. But that's God's business. He's supernatural, I'm not. But we all can pray to him. The angels are there to protect you. We can pray to him. The Holy Spirit's in touch with all of us. Somehow he brings those prayers to his Father. And somehow or another on a supernatural level, they know each individual prayer and every little bird that flies. How he does that, I don't have a clue. I don't care to know. That's God's business, and if he told me, I wouldn't understand it anyway. He gives us a little bit of a work to do, and that's what we're doing. You see? Because then, Matthew 28:18, all power is given to me in heaven and earth, he says. And the powers of darkness were defeated. Colossians 2:15. Says, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphant over them in it. And boy, that is not what Joyce Myers, Easton Star says. That's not what Copeland says or Hagen says. I played with y'all the video of them talking about how the demons of hell was bouncing on and beating up Jesus down in hell. I can't believe these people are saying, how come out of all those people in these, sitting in the stands or whatever, don't just get up and leave when they hear this heresy? I mean, I don't have to sit there and wait till they're done and with respect. No, sir. I'm getting up and leaving. My conviction would be right then, right there. I'm getting up and say, excuse me. And I'm walking out and nobody better not get in my way. I'm leaving at those doors. Because that's heresy. And they're lying. Purebred lying. Because they're supposed to know the scripture. If they're saying something wrong, man, you got a problem. I'm out of there. Man, don't play with this. Christ was exalted. On the cross, he said it's finished. He went down and preached in the bosom of Abraham's bosom. I can only imagine Jeremiah, Moses, all the rest of them down there in Abraham's bosom. Those in hell could see but couldn't touch. They could only see. But those Old Testament saints waiting. So you're the Jesus. Whoo, it's about time you got here. We want to go home. So they were in Abraham's bosom. Jesus hadn't yet ascended when the Old Testament saints were doing their thing. But they were protected in Abraham's bosom in paradise. I guess the one stayed shortest time there was a criminal on one side of Jesus at the cross. He's probably the last one to go into paradise. You ever think about that? When Jesus said to him, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." Well, Jesus hadn't ascended yet. He was still dead, still on the cross. Excuse me. So I guess the one shortest time in Abraham's bosom was that criminal on one side of Jesus at the cross of Calvary. But he made it. I'd say by the skin of his teeth, too, by the way. That was a close call. You think he'd have made it if he hadn't been on the cross? How about that, too? If he'd have lived and still been a criminal, he wouldn't have made it to heaven. But because he's on a cross and getting ready to die, he made it to heaven. How about that? Did you ever think about that? I didn't either just now. Anyway. Christ's victory is our victory when you take him as your Savior. It's a matter of choice. Ephesians 1, 20 and 21. says, "Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that's named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come." Earth is the first heaven, physical realm. Vibrating molecules and particles and photons and protons and whatever tons it is makes it a physical realm. The next realm is the universe. It's the second heaven, of which only operates out there, not astronauts, but supernatural, spiritual beings called fallen angels. They live on these planets because they're spiritual. They don't have physical. Family, when you put physical out there in space, it's like putting a little mouse in a microwave. You understand? Let's get graphic about it. Because those waves out there, no flesh will survive in the known universe. NASA is lying. But the orbs that you see, the supernatural orbs, are not angels. Those are fallen angels. They come back and forth, to and fro, by portals. How the portals open through human sacrifice and murder, rape, disasters, war, releases life force energy that somehow or another they harness and they can take on physical form or come through those portals. Now they have technologies that can open up those portals without human sacrifice. I'll let you think about that for a while. CERN. Harp, chemtrails, rituals still go. Dates and times are important. Alchemy, all that put together is how they manipulate God's creation for the time being. And they're trying to harness the powers of earth, space, meteorites, weather. If they can harness that, they think, in their knowledge, they can defeat the return of Jesus Christ in Armageddon. That's why they have weather control. That's why they're trying to harness meteorites. That's the big picture, not the little one, the big one. That's why they're trying to upgrade the human body by transhumanism. Because they know a human cannot go up against an angel. They think there's going to be a war between God and Satan. No, it's not going to be a war. It's going to be one command. And God will wipe out the entire 200 million of her transhumanized army. Just like it did in the flood. They're still ticked off about that, by the way. I told y'all some really deep subjects here today. I don't know if you... This thing on principalities. I said, what in the world are we talking about here? Powers of darkness and all that. Well, go something like this. Principalities and powers occurs about 6 times in the Bible. It's always the King James Bible. Some of its derivatives don't have it. Other versions translate it kind of vicariously as rules and authorities. Oh, they sneaky. Yeah, they are. Or forces and authorities, rulers and powers, they try to stay away from the truth as much as possible. All those other Bibles. In every place where this phrase particularly appears, the context makes it clear that it refers to a vast array of evil and malicious spirits make war with the people of God. See, they're still ticked off at their failure before the flood. See, the fallen angels had to watch their quote-unquote children die in the flood. So the bodies died, washed away, but their spirits remained in the abyss looking for bodies in the future. Avatars, chalice, possession. Now you see. The principalities and powers of Satan are in view at this point, and powers that have power in the unseen realm, the second heaven. And like Jesus Christ was given authority over, means the second heaven is the known universe. But the third heaven, according to Paul, the third heaven is where Jesus Christ, God, Holy Spirit, reign. Beyond the second heaven, separated by water. I don't know how that works. I don't care how it works. That's God's business, not mine. If the Bible says it, it is it. The first mention of principalities and powers is in Romans 8:37-39. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation, will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Gosh, let me look at that again. It says, yep, Christ Jesus. It don't say Christ Yeshua. It don't say Yahweh, don't say Jeshua. I can't pronounce it there. How do they do that? They must practice this every day. Anyway, it doesn't say this. It says Christ Jesus. Very simple. Greek to English. English is the only true word. And it just happens to be a universal language. Imagine that. If the Jews, now I have to say this is my opinion here. I believe that, hypothetically speaking, if the Hebrew Jews had actually, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, had actually fulfilled their requirement, fulfilled their assignment to bring mankind's word, bring God's word to mankind, that we'd be speaking Hebrew today. But they failed. 2 tribes fighting each other, 10 tribes disappear. Long story short. And so it went underground for a while. You know the story of the Bible there. Then Antioch, you know, they gathered together. You got that. And then after Antioch, they said, man, we're getting ourselves killed here. We're going to protect his word. God sent them into exile, you might say, in the Alps for generations and generations and generations until 1604. And God brought his word out again. That's why they called it the Dark Ages before that. The Dark Ages, because God removed his word from mankind. The Bible in the Catholic Church is not the word of God. It's corrupted from origin of Antioch. From Alexander, Egypt. Origin. Greek philosopher. That should tell you something right there. Pastor Eusebius, Constantine, Jerome. You got the heretical Bible of the Roman Catholic Church. And then after that was 1871 to 1890, two Freemasons, Westcott and Hort, further in subtle ways, corrupted the Bibles to lay it into the newer Bibles today from 1900 to now. Hadn't touched the King James. They sure did, the New American Standard, ESV, all these others. Corrupted in subtle ways. King James stands as the only true word of God in the face of the planet. It tells you the truth. Those verses stand as the truth. But the verses I just read you, I guess I went down a rabbit hole. I had to finish. Nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord, not Yeshua. Yeshua is the name of Sanan Emmanuel. Remember that. So these verses are about the victory that Christ won over all the forces ranged against us. So you're more than just conquerors, because no force, not life, nor death, nor angels or demons or anything, nothing, can separate you from the love of God. And so the powers referred to here are those with miraculous powers, whether false teachers, prophets, or the demonic entities that empower them. What is clear is that whoever they are, they could not separate you from the love of God through Jesus. But there's another mention of principalities and powers in Colossians 1, verse 16. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. Now, that's a clear statement that God is the creator and ruler over all authorities. Now, whether they submit to him or rebel against him or whatever power the evil forces possess, they are not out of the ultimate control of our sovereign God. He uses them, even the wicked, for bringing about his perfect plan and purpose. You'll find that in Daniel 4, verse 35, as a matter of fact. Daniel 4:35. It does say, and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? If he told us, we would understand it anyway. Mankind does not have the dimensional capacity to understand. Satan and the fallen angels do not have the dimensional capacity to understand the mind of God. It's impossible. If they did, they wouldn't have crucified Christ on the cross. If they did, they would have known that Mary and Joseph was going to leave before they got there when he influenced Herod to go find them. If they did, Satan would not have failed so many times. But he keeps on learning. That's the problem. But he is still defeated. So Colossians 1:16. And it's a clear statement that God's the creator and ruler of all authorities. Daniel 4:35. Isaiah 46:10-11. Isaiah 46. Ten and 11, declaring the end from the beginning, from the ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure, calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man that executeth my counsel from a far country. Yea, I've spoken it, I will also bring it to pass, I purposed it, I will also do it. You know, in Job 1 and Job 2, it talks about the sons of God that comes before the throne of God, and Satan's among them. Well, the sons of Seth did not come before the counsel of God, but the fallen angels have to. You know why? They have a dimension of some kind where they have to go to the throne of God to request permission to do certain things. Otherwise, they can't act. See, God's still in control. But because sin increases, God pulls back his hand, allowing them to have more latitude to operate, to influence the nations, to bring about disaster, bring about their plans. They know that. So what's the weak link? We are. So what happened in the Garden of Eden? He got to Eve. Eve got to Adam. What happens here? He gets to us. We back away from God. We change the laws of gay marriage. We cause abortions to be legal. We pass legislation against the Bible that children can kill themselves. That's in Oregon right now being passed. I'm not making none of this up. So once he gets all that passed and we can legalize drugs, let the felons out of prison, stop the death penalty, all these things, get rid of the laws, do as I wilt. Oh, we're in a whole lot of trouble. Because the more we turn away from God as mankind, what happened in the flood? The flood. What happened to Sodom and Gomorrah? They kind of got a little hot there, didn't they? What happened to the Pharaohs? Was it didn't migrate to Europe? What happened to those that mocked God? None of them ended good. Aren't they ever going to learn? Anyway. So, having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Colossians 2, verse 15. So, in keeping all things, the powers are created by Christ, therefore under his control, and they're not to be feared, for they have been disarmed by the cross. He's using this to separate the wheat and the tares. He allows it to happen. The Savior, by his death, took dominion from them. They weren't expecting that. He took back what they had captured at the Garden of Eden. Satan, his legions, had invaded Earth. It wasn't in UFOs either. And they drew mankind into captivity, subjecting them to their evil reign. But see, by the death of Christ, though, he subdued the invaders. He recaptured those who had been vanquished. And even Colossians 2:14 speaks of Jesus being nailed to the cross along with the written charges against him. So the record of our wrongdoing with which Satan accuses us before God is nailed with Christ to the cross. So, after his resurrection, it's destroyed and the powers can no longer accuse you. You're innocent in the eyes of God. They are disarmed. But it's not automatic. You have to accept him as your Savior. Repent of the sins that you acknowledge, the sins that you've engaged in. Let them know you know what you're doing wrong. Oops. Well, there goes my pride. There goes my ego. Yeah. To admit you've been wrong all this time, doing these things. By George, I know I had to. And every day it's something. I turn my head away or I got to fight. This is what we have to do. I'm not a theologian. I'm just an old former Marine here, fighting every day, trying to keep myself straight. Because I grew up being a rascal most of my life. Not a good rascal, neither, a bad rascal. But I know where the truth lies, and to go beyond the truth is now just plain dumb. Hey, you ready for this? How dumb is it? Well, it's about as dumb as trying to nail a nail, a 10-penny nail, in a concrete slab and using an iron jar, using a glass jar. That's how dumb it is. Because he won on the cross of Calvary. And he is coming back. According to his eternal purpose, here we see the angelic host being shown the wisdom and purpose of God in the plan of salvation through Christ. Angels, both holy and unholy, witness the glory of God and the preeminence of Christ above all creatures in the church. Those who are saved and preserved by his power. Ephesians 1, verse 20 to 21. Now, remember I've said more than once to my broadcast to some of those, and I guess I should explain it more. But when you were born, today you were born, from a military point of view, you landed in the hot LZ. And people say, what the dickens are you talking about, LZ? A landing zone, when your helicopter lands and fire and shooting and going on, that's a hot LZ. Well, when you were born, and you came out there, and that doctor smacked you on the butt, and you started crying because that darn thing hurt, and you were hungry. You landed in a hot LZ in a war just as soon as you were born. Yeah, then they slap a birth certificate on you. So Ephesians 6:12. It declares the warfare in which you're engaged in right now as you battle throughout our lives against the rulers, against authorities, against the powers of the dark of the world, against the evil, the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. That'd be the second heaven and the first heaven, back and forth. So having been saved, you've got to continue to struggle to do these things and to do good things in the light of the pure, sure victory promised in Romans 8. You know, it's kind of as though you are facing an army of dark powers who've been disarmed from real power against whom you have been promised victory. Who? It's our job as watchmen, as testimony to demonstrate and depend upon the wisdom and power of God in defeating them in our lives and deliverance. But you got to trust in God. Totally. David and Goliath. I'm going to go out there and kick that big boy's butt. Now, if I don't do it, I need somebody to back me up now. You have your archers ready to go. I don't think that would have worked out too well. I don't think it would work out well at all. David wouldn't have had faith. So the final reference to principalities. And powers is in Titus 3 verse 1. And in Titus, what did I say it was? 3:1, yeah. There it refers to those government authorities whom God has placed, notice the word, has placed over us for our protection and welfare. They're God's representatives on earth, and submission to him involves submission to his duly constituted authorities. But those who rebel against earthly authorities are rebelling against what God's instituted. And those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. Romans 13:2. Now, there may be a reason why God placed subversive, bad rulers over us for punishment, for control, because we allowed it, because we didn't trust God. And that's exactly what happened in the United States. Majority of the signers of the Declaration were Masons. Now, you two heard what I said earlier today and yesterday. What we did to the Indians and the Mexicans and the blacks. What we did to our own people. Sometimes God will place people under control of a nation that doesn't even know his name. But because the laws were established, though, in America, relating to the Bible, supporting the Bible, he's allowed us to continue on. Because that gives you an opportunity to change when the laws reflect the Bible. However, the human government was never intended to let it carry through. And I have quotes on this based upon their certain leaders that confirm we've never had a democracy and they intended we never would. But at least the laws were there. The churches were there. The Bibles were there. And people worshiped God, had the opportunity to because the laws reflected it. Oh, we've had a subservient government all along. We've also done good things, too. But again, now you see a little bit more. You go against those laws, now you're really in trouble. If I thought that a revolution would actually work, say, for example, I'd probably be on it. But family, rebellion is not of God. However, when the government causes you to sin, sorry, not going to sin against God, so I go against the government. That don't mean I blow up a building. It means I refuse to do what the government tells me to do when it goes against the laws of God. I'm just not going to do it. Nope. Because it's against God's law. God's law oversees anything man could come up with. Render to Caesar, which is Caesar, but unto God, render to God. But the thing is, I don't want to get into a political issue right now, but they don't have any replacement. They have their own dialectic. Jesus is the one you go to. As a matter of fact, he tells us exactly what we got to do that they're not doing. I bet you some of you all already know that, don't you? I'll just go ahead and say it to you anyway. If my people, 2 Chronicles 7:14, is the answer, and the Joint Chief of Staff would do well to learn this, but they won't. Because they're Knights of Malta, they're Knights of Columbus, and they're Council of Foreign Relations members. But the answer, the one answer, is in 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now, that's the shortest five-paragraph order I've ever heard. But probably the hardest thing they've ever would ever try to do. Because they're only filled with their own self-importance. And blood oaths from the Knights of Malta, Knights of Columbus, Freemasonry. They worship Lucifer. It is not going to work. That's what the tribulations are coming, as God said they would. He's going to roto-rooter and fix things. But in the meantime, we have a job to do. And we are in a hot LZ. We're in enemy territory, I'm telling you right now. So what did Satan do? Well, principalities, from research, now if I'm wrong here, somebody correct me, but from my research, what I've found was that Satan has pretty much organized the second heaven into seven major divisions called principalities. He's put a powerful demon at head of each principality. Each of these demons have the responsibility of spreading your particular brand of temptation and bondage throughout the world. Once you understand how this division actually works, you can understand how and why America is facing problems we have today. Satan has supernatural power. That's pretty obvious. Now, whatever he wants to do, he can do, provided God does not step in to prevent it. You see the situation early in Job. Job is a very good book. It talks about creation and the creation of man in more detail. And it... First, you got to understand at our next point about Satan, that Satan is the Lord, the dictator of this world, although not public yet, but he's operating, obviously. Do not be deceived at this point, because the Bible declares this to be the case throughout Scripture. Job 1, 6 and 7, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said to Satan, "Whence comest thou?" When Satan answered the Lord, he said, "From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it." When God asked Satan where he had been, Satan replied, "He had been on the earth, walking up and down in it." Now, that means he can come and go as he please. The picture is of a human being walking up and down a small plot of land, right? But the understanding here is that a person has complete control, because he's under the control of a very small and insignificant compared to his overall power and ability. That's the same thing with Satan. You think of earth as being very large, but to supernatural Satan, earth is nothing more or less than a small, insignificant garden plot. He has demons throughout the world, disembodied Nephilim. In Job, you see that God exercises his power, telling Satan he may test Job, but with certain restrictions. Specifically, not to take Job's life. That tells you something there. But God allowed Satan to take the life of Job's family members. Understand the power of Satan, which has. He has the power to kill humans, should God allow it to happen. That should open up a whole ball of wax. Ephesians 2, verse 6 and 7, the Apostle Paul calls Satan the prince of the power of the air. Now, what do you mean by air? That's the air surrounding the earth. It's another way of saying earth, or Paul's picture is that of Satan being the absolute dictator, prince of this earth. And the Apostle Paul speaks of Satan with the title in John 12:31. And John 14, verse 30, and John 16, verse 11. Now, in Daniel, you see that these godly forces, the satanic forces, are battling for control for the kings of the earth, chapter 10. So, we know that Satan and his host are actively working through human agents. That's the Illuminati. That's the Vatican. That's Freemasons at the highest level. Specific one. That's shaman. Witch doctors. You got the point? Etc. But specifically, human political leaders. And that is to achieve their goals. So we know that demons, or fallen angels, can physically possess humans. And they do call them avatars. Avatars are significant humans that change the style of a culture. Make some significant change. These are avatars, not everyday possession. For example, Plato, Aristotle, Bismarck, Lincoln was a racial avatar. He went against them. So avatars can snap out of it. Martin Luther in the 16th century. Yeah, he was an avatar. That boy was a rascal. And Buddha. It's a high form of possession, an avatar. Others can channel. Satan himself entered into Judas, empowering him to betray Jesus Christ. Luke 22, verse 3. Then, most importantly, you see that at the end of the age, during the reign of the Antichrist, Satan and his demons possess the key human leaders of the world. That possession can also reveal itself through shape-shifting. Revelation 16, verses 13 to 16. Some of the miners in Chile was down there for a long period of time. Had a little bit of possession going on there, bringing some demons out to be possessed, to possess someone else. It's also called externalization of the hierarchy. That's Bailey. Helena Blavatsky. This was set up to go on the Tower of Babel before God tore it down. That was what the Tower of Babel is all about, to bring the demonic realm into this realm. Lining it with copper. A little alchemy thing going on. Mm-hmm. So we know theoretically that key human leaders striving mightily for the New World Order. This is why the pharaohs of Egypt were hybrids after the flood. They have a copper-based DNA in the Illuminati, Rh negative, but not all Rh negatives. That genome gets itself around a little bit, but not to the point of total possession. And just because you have one don't mean you can't be saved. But this is exactly why these royalties of the world, King and Queen, Queen Elizabeth II, for example, and all the rest of them, intermarry because they have that special DNA from the fallen angels. That's why they marry second cousins. That's gross. But they marry second cousins. And they give lower level cousinry to other positions like President of the United States or Prime Minister of England or I don't know, whatever. Now you see why all of our presidents, they found out through three or four different investigations, Burke Peerage, one TV station did a study, a bunch of them, Ancestry.com, Burke Peerage, proved that all of our presidents, except for Van Buren, are all in the same bloodline, Merovingian bloodline, of Queen Elizabeth II. Wow. Queen Elizabeth II, traced back to King John, Charles Maine, Attila the Hun, Muhammad the Prophet, Ishmael. Oh, it just keeps going back to the pharaohs of Egypt. Tribe of Dan, 13th. Oh, it gets really convoluted. This DNA gets thrown around, but they control it. Marry outside of it, they're going to kill you. This is the bloodline. Okay, for example, Diana. She was pregnant with an Egyptian fella. Bruce Lee changed his name from Bruce Lee, L-I, to Lee, L-double-E. The Lee family, look it up right now. L-I family, Illuminati. Oh, they're powerful. They help control the United States. Ooh, that's really powerful. That's why Bruce Lee was coming into TV. But he got away from them, married an American girl, started teaching the secrets of martial arts, and they said, he's got to go. They killed him. Even Bill Cooper was a part of the Illuminati. Bloodline. He got away from them too. What happened? They killed him too. But he became a born-again Christian. He had to go. See, all God does is bring them to him. Before he comes crashing down this earth. You see? There's a lot of things going on people don't realize. So that's why they have to have that special DNA so they can be possessed. Family. when the President of the United States Incorporated takes his inauguration, right hand on the Bible, whatever. I'm surprised it don't burn him in flames when he does it. I plug what he does. And either before or after the inauguration, he has been at the Scottish Rite headquarters in D.C. And he has taken another initiation, and he is indwelled with a demonic entity. That is what happens to the presidents of the United States. They have two ceremonies. One at the Scottish Rite headquarters, and one at the inauguration that everybody sees and does his thing. Because they've got that special DNA. That's probably a little too heavy for tonight, but I said it anyway. But you know that theoretically, all key human leaders striving mightily for the New World Order, which they've confirmed, doing so through the power of witchcraft, might also be possessed, which they are. And notice when they get out of the presidency, they age fast. Woohoo, Lordy mercy. Like they've been under some kind of a heat lamp. Don't they, though? Hair starts turning white. Skins get all kind of wrinkly. Because that demon has moved out of there. They've sucked up enough life force that they age very quickly. Satan controls the earth, that he has a throne in the earth. In Revelation 2, verse 13, you see that Jesus said something very interesting in his words of commendation to the church at Perigonum or Pergamonus. The city was a wealthy trading city in Asia Minor, right? Is immersed in pagan worship. And Jesus said the following words, "And to the angel of the church of Pergamos write, these things saith he which hath the sharp sword with two edges. I know thy works, and where thou dwelleth, even where Satan's seat is. And thou holdest fast my name, hath not denied my faith, even in those days whereupon Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth." His throne's the city of Pergamum. Adulterous behavior. Pergamum's not Satan's throne today, but where is his throne today? Do we even know, really? Maybe the Vatican? Hilarion, the fallen angel, his control is on the North American continent, according to their own reports of the Illuminati. Hilarion is the fallen angel here in America. Uh-huh. Special warfare, principalities. Real quickly, to get them all in, so you'll know kind of what I'm talking about here, is Satan's seven high-ranking principalities of hell taught to witches. Doc Marquis, which I don't trust too many people, actually, to tell the truth. Because people that say that I'm with CIA, I'm writing books, I'm speaking to everybody, and I'm exposing the CIA's involvement. Or I am former of this, that, and the other, and I'm well, if you are, and you're still living, something's not matching. However, here's one paradigm. And I don't mean 20 cents. One paradigm is that the Illuminati wants to be exposed. We're at the time now where this Illuminati are now exposing themselves. They want Cletus and Martha here, see, that don't know anything about Illuminati, to know who they are, because when they say the Illuminati's been defeated, they've been run away, the bankers have been arrested, Obama's been impeached, or whatever they're going to come up with, something. We've won. Hooray, we've done it. Will be a lie. So when they say the Illuminati's been defeated, you won't have Cletus and Martha saying, who's Illuminati? because they'll be told who the Illuminati is. That's why the Illuminati is called a dialectic. Wants to expose themselves so everybody will know who the bad guys are. So when the bad guys have been defeated, oh, we must be okay then. Yeah, you see how it works. Principalities is Rege, R-E-G-E. He's a general of the occult. He deals with drugs, marijuana, hashish, speed, LSD. He's the drug, the pharmacia, pharmakia, is Rege, is taught to the witches. The second principality is Lars, L-A-R-Z. He's a demon of sexual lust, homosexuality, bisexuality, adultery, other such sexual pleasures. He's the expert there with little demons under him. He is enjoying greater success in America than ever in our nation's history. This goes along with the communist agenda to turn our children towards sex. The third one is Bacchus. Bacchus is the demon of addictions, drugs, smoking, alcohol. Satan loves to capture a person in some sort of addiction and habit. The fourth one is Pan. He's a demon of the mind. He causes mental illnesses, depression, suicide, nerves, and they can use technology of ELF transmission of 6.6 hertz aimed at a targeted individual, causes depression. And when that depression is caused, it can allow them to be possessed. So they have technology that synthesizes demonic activity. The demons are certain frequencies. If I have lust, a little green light goes on, hypothetically, and that frequency is reached, that demon can come in on a portal inside your body. Anger is another frequency, like looking for a frequency on a radio. Each one is a different specialist. You got it? Dr. Kevorkian is in league with Pan. Pan is operating heavily in Oregon to pass that Child Euthanasia Act. Now you understand how this works? The fifth is Medit, M-E-D-I-T. That's a demon of hate, murder, killing, war, jealousy, envy, gossip. Demon of hate, murder. You see, they can target you with a microchip, with a flash mob, or a town, with 10 or 11 hertz of energy, ELF transmission, which is about 2 or 3 over the standard Schumann resonance of 7.8 or 8.2 hertz is standard, is average. If they hit you with 10 point or 11 hertz, it causes riotous behavior opposite of 6.6. 10 or 11 hertz of energy causes you severe agitation, road rage, that kind of thing. Murder, mayhem, and you don't know why you feel that way. The demonic division cooperates with the divisions promoting addiction and drugs, alcohol, mental illness. They work together. So you got a powerful group of problems if you're not covered in the blood of Jesus. This is real stuff that people don't understand. Those people who fight domestic abuse and violence, what they're fighting is a demonic host. They don't know it. You got Freud and you got Edward Bernays and Gestalt, and Weber Bernays is nephew of Freud anyway. Keeping the family. So they turn these emotions into some word you can't even spell, and they say, well, that must be it. Because he's a redheaded stepchild, he has this affinity toward, you see, and they come up with all this nonsense. It's actually supernatural. If you got a problem with it, well, no problem. Just give him a pill called psychotropic drug and he'll kill himself. This is what they're talking about. This is what they're doing. This is why you got 26 suicides per day of our veterans. Good gosh almighty. And you got Paul Rykoff, who's, well, there I go political, but anyway, you got Paul Rykoff up in this, running this, he's a former Marine or former veteran. He works for the Council of Foreign Relations, trying to help veterans. And he works for the Council of Foreign Relations? No. He's there to slow it down. He's a member of the Illuminati. He's there to make sure they don't get help. You see how they do it? That torques my jaw so bad, sometimes I can't eat without a crowbar. The sixth one is Set, the demon of death. That is really such a thing. Wars, terrorism, murder, raging throughout the world, comes from the demon of death, with Set. That's the sixth principality. Death is his game. The return of Israel back to her land starting the end of the age. Time clock started ticking. Also in this century, 1948 to be exact. It's coming. And the seventh one, and I haven't covered in detail these yet, but the seventh one is the Christian demon. This particular demon has no set name. He is extremely powerful. Most witches won't even bother with him. He gets Christians to talk about each other through gossiping and causing strife, that within the church and among the brethren. He also tries to weaken the Christians' walk with the Lord by making them content, failing to live up to church commitments, causing guilt, tithing, soul winning. Tithing is not of this age now. Used to be, but it's not what the Bible says. Same thing about the Sabbath. You can pick any day you want. Bible covers that. Doesn't say you don't do it. Just means you can cover any day. Tithing is of the Old Testament. You give what you can give to whoever that God brings to you. It's not to a church. It's to whatever God sets up for you. Only in your heart you know. You hear it. Family, this is so organized and controlled, but they're out of water. When Jesus Christ rose across Calvary, rose from the grave, he defeated them. And soon, in his timing, nobody knows. I had somebody tell me, I don't know who they are, but they said, you want me to tell you when the tribulation is going to start? Yes or no? I'm like, gee, get out of here. I said, go shoo-shoo, bye-bye. I said, nobody knows the day or the hour. Man, go away. But you know, you will know when it starts, though. There'll be no doubt about that. And it won't be no Red River in Pakistan or some hailstones falling in Texas or something like that. That's HARP causing this. Or that's supernatural whiz-bang smoke and mirrors to fool people about the tribulations. You'll know. God is no respecter of persons. So he's not going to have the tribulations on half of the world, or even, well, the tribulations are happening in Pakistan. Hey, Martha, what, honey? You want to come watch the tribulations in Pakistan? Yeah, let me watch. Let me call a preacher. Maybe he wants to see. You got to be kidding me. This is what's going on. You got those preachers and YouTube evangelists that say, oh, we got the tribulations already started. Carl Jessup down in Florida. Oh, we're in the sixth trumpet. No, we're not. When that first seal breaks, you're going to know it. When the second seal breaks, you're dadgum sure going to know it. Will be no doubt when the red horse rides. Famine will be in America. You will not be able to go to food line down here and get you some food anytime you want to and popcorn to watch the tribulations. That's not going to happen. America is going to experience famine and disease. It's coming. Judgment on this country is going to happen. We've done too much. We're not going to the Lord like we should be. And it's getting closer. We're changing the laws of the land. Well, shucks, I can go on for another hour, but I'm not going to. I know y'all got things to do. I'm just getting wound up, actually. I got a whole lot more to talk about. We'll finish it up tomorrow. We'll get through it. And tomorrow I want to talk about solutions. I laid the groundwork today. Tomorrow, I'll focus on solutions. I'll talk about deliverance tomorrow. A little bit more about the spirits and about Jesus and solutions. But family, that supernatural world, that's real. And now people are starting to see it. They're starting to feel it. They're starting to say, maybe there's something to this. I got weird things happening here and there. And, you know, and they're starting to ask questions. Yeah, he ain't seen nothing yet. You with the Nephilim's released from the underground bases. Woo-hoo, mama. Anyway, you see those hot shot, big shot guys, playing Rambo, yeah, they're going to be on the table crying, man. When those super soldiers and Nephilim are released. Lord, we thank you tonight for coming together. We thank you, Father, for this opportunity we have for Bible study. Father, lead us to the night, a night's sleep, and Father, give us the wisdom. Think about what we covered today. And Father, to be able to use this in the future, that Lord, through deliverance, through the power of the Lamb, that we, Father, will be successful. We'll lead others to Jesus. Give us the words to speak, the opportunities we can have. Protect our families. Heal those we've prayed for, Lord. And just keep giving us opportunities. These things we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Well, I want to remind y'all that we're played at highportradio.net. I put that plug in there. John Kirkler, H-E-R-K-A-L-E-R, highportradio.net, plays our broadcast and our Bible studies randomly in his network in New Jersey, New York, and Pennsylvania. And we appreciate that. My website, watchmenforjesus.com, and I use it primarily for the broadcast. I've got some studies there that you might, one of them, the timeline I've got there, is going to keep you busy if you study it. And you can send me a message there on Facebook, Watchmen for Jesus. I'm there too. I appreciate y'all's attention tonight and visiting my house here, so to speak. Don't have to worry about a parking problem, that's for sure, and zoning either. And we hold a Bible study. Yo, yo. So anyway, y'all get ready. Let's keep it going, even on your own. Because Jesus Christ is coming, and a lot of people are going to be caught sleeping. They're going to want answers. They're going to come to you. When? Don't have a clue. That's God's business. All we're here is ready for it to when it happens. Whether next month, whether next year, whether 2017 or 2025 or whatever, I don't know. I'm not concerned about it. When you're right with God, it don't matter. When's the rapture? The rapture is... Nobody knows. Well, it's pre-trib. Really? Well, tell me when the tribulation is. I don't know, do you? No. It's mid-trib. Really? When's the tribulation? Don't know. It's post-trib. You see what we do? If you're ready, you don't got to worry about it. You can argue about when the rapture is all day long till you're blue in the face. And sucking on a balloon, whatever. Yeah, you know. But you're never going to come to an answer. The Bible won't tell you. It gets close to it, but won't tell you when. It tells you when it's coming. Whether it's fifth seal, sixth seal, seventh seal, whatever, it's God's business. If you're right with God, you won't have to worry about it anyway, see? Y'all have a good night. And we'll see y'all tomorrow, 4 o'clock, in the Bible, on the broadcast, 4 to 6 p.m. tomorrow, Eastern Standard Time. And tomorrow night, Bible study will continue on with what we're talking about today. And I want to focus on some steps for deliverance tomorrow. We'll talk a little bit more about demonology, if you want to call it that, or whatever it is. But I can tell you more about it and how they operate so you can defeat them. But you only defeat them through the blood of Jesus. He does your fighting for you, but you got to get in contact with him. How to live the Christian life. That's the way to do it. And I hate to say it, but I'm going to say it anyway. Majority of churches, because they're controlled by the Freemasons, because they're controlled by 501c3, they try to keep you from living the Christian life. A church is not four walls or religion. A church is where two or more are gathered. That's the church he's talking about. And rosary beads, crosses, and Mary ain't going to help you none. But Jesus will. He's the only one that can. Good night. God bless. This is your watchman signing off.